Good morning, everyone. Welcome to service. And, it was amazing that that's why we pray, and that's why we pray in the Spirit, because when I know not what to pray for as I ought, the Spirit helps our infirmities. The Spirit helps our infirmities. Or, the Spirit helps us to recall circumstances that need prayer. And so if you would be willing and obedient to yield to the Holy Spirit in times of promptings, then you could really be available to help rescue somebody that's in need. And we don't know what circumstances are. We could envision things or whatever. And God sometimes does show us things that give us, helps us to continue to press in prayer. But remember that when you pray and when you intercede, something good is happening. I always believe that something good is happening when you take time to pray. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, go back into that room regularly for prayer, because they believe something good is happening when they pray in the Spirit, when they pray in English, when they seek God, when they're being doers of the Word. And so I'm telling you something, it was eye-opening to me to realize I'm praying for that guy, and that's a long, long time ago. And so who knows if it took that long for that person to come to a place of needing Christ, or what if he did know Christ and he was in need, or whatever the circumstances may be. We don't know what the circumstances are. I could fill my mind with all kinds of stuff. But the point being is that I was praying and believing, and then I saw what I believe God was prompting me that I was praying about. And so I think it's a great testimony to be that kind of a person that is willing to pray for others. It's called being an intercessor. Intercessors isn't some way out weird thing. It just means that you pray for others. It just means that you don't spend all your time in prayer praying for yourself. I mean, if you just spent all your time praying for yourself, that would mean you don't pray a lot, because praying for yourself would get boring. How much could you continue to pray? Obviously, circumstances, family, marriages, kids, jobs, bosses, everything, would come into mind. But nevertheless, I mean, we are people that are given to prayer. And so I commend all of you that do come to prayer. I commend all of you that are prayers. And don't give up. Don't quit. Don't fret and say, what am I doing? Why am I wasting my time? It's never, if you pray in faith, it's never a waste of time. Someone say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, let me see here. Oops, where's my first page? 1, 2, 3. Hey, Nance, could you grab my first page in the office? Or could I go grab my first page? I'm blanking on my first scripture, so hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just stay with me a moment. Hey, welcome to those of you that are at home. Hey, once in a while,
Galatians
5:1. Welcome to those of you that are watching at home. We're glad to have you with us, and it'd be a blessing to see your beautiful face in the services at some point. But obviously, if you're up north, way up north, many of you are, or wherever you are, thank you for joining us this morning. Again, thank you, Father, for the Word of God that we're about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us, made you free, made you free, made me free, made us free. And don't get entangled again back there. What is a yoke of bondage? It's back there. And we're not going back. Hallelujah for 4th of July and the things that we remember in history class. And we remember, give me liberty or give me death, famous words of this quotation attributed to American politician and orator Patrick Henry from a speech he made at the 2nd Virginia Convention on March 23rd, 1775 at St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia. St. John's Church, God bless them for being in church and saying, give me liberty or give me death. As Americans, most people define liberty as freedom, and we always thank God for our freedom. Man, if you are not grateful for your country, for the freedom we have, just go into some other countries around the world and stay there. Maybe you can visit and you go, oh, this is great. We love it here. here, but stay there longer, and you'll find out piece by piece by piece that we live in an incredibly great nation. And it's not perfect. We make mistakes. It's done a lot of bad things, and it will do a lot of bad things. But praise God for the United States of America. Praise God for our president and all the politicians and everyone. And I'm not a hater. I just refuse to be a hater. Don't be a hater. Reject all hate, even if it's not your political persuasion. Don't be a hater, and try and pray for your enemies. If you've got enemies in politics, pray for your enemies. But praise God that this is the 4th of July weekend. It's a weekend to celebrate independence. And I was trying to get to sleep last night, and there were fireworks going off everywhere around our home. And that was cool, because I was like that. When I had fireworks, I was blowing them off like crazy. I loved fireworks. But I was doing it when they were legal. Now a lot of it's all legal. So anyways, but going forward. All right, so Christian liberty goes beyond natural terms. Obviously, Christian liberty goes into spiritual terms. True liberty and freedom are only found in the Word of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true freedom in the spiritual realm. And again, we're talking about true freedom from death and darkness, works of the flesh, and bondage to darkness. Freedom from death. Hallelujah. We live in Him. We live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. Darkness. We've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. The works of the flesh, we put down the works of the flesh. We're continually bringing our flesh into subjection to the Word of God, to the power of the Spirit. We're suppressing our flesh that craves and desires and wants and cries and yells out, but we continually, as a devout believer in Jesus Christ, we've learned to bring our flesh into submission, to bring our flesh under, and to say no, and to take authority over it, because it is absolutely eternally rewardable to do that kind of thing. Because when you do it, it's not just so that you can walk an easier path in this life at this time, but it's also fruitful spiritually for eternity. Hey, when you think in terms of what is eternity, it's so long. What's my position in eternity? Thank God I think about it, man. What's my position in eternity? I have no idea. I don't know. I might be the billionth down the line. I might be up close to some of the top leaders. Who knows what God has? But my point is, I'm going to be faithful to God, because it isn't just about here. It isn't just about now. And it isn't just about me. It's about the kingdom of heaven. It's about the Word of God. It's about doing the will of God and being used and being available. And the example would be to all of a sudden you're praying. All of a sudden you just start praying and you don't know what you're praying. The Bible says when we don't know what to pray for as we ought, the Spirit helps us. The Spirit helps our infirmities. Infirmities in that context is just not knowing and being ignorant of what you're saying in your mind or heart. And that's why we pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. So I can pray over things that I know, and I can pray over things that I don't know. And I would encourage somebody who's wrestled with something like that, do you realize how powerful praying over something you don't know is? Because you don't know much. Sorry, you might be the smartest person in this room, but you don't know much in comparison to the will of God, the Word of God, the kingdom of God, eternity past, anything going. We don't know a whole lot. I mean, you know, you could have been the best student, you could be the most brilliant person in the room right now, but you still don't know much in comparison to the spiritual realm and the eternal realm and all those things. So consider that. That would help us to humble ourselves and get out of pride. Amen. All right, so in the Bible is liberty. Liberty is life and blessing. Death is bondage and cursing. True Christianity is life and blessing, and true Christianity is rejection of death and rejection of sin in every aspect. Some people go, well, hey, we're Christians now. We don't have to talk about sin. Hey, we deal with sin all the time. If we wouldn't talk about it if we never had to deal with it again. But I'm continually bringing myself into subjection. I'm continually putting my flesh under. And I'm continually not trying to keep control anger. You know, I broke some glass. Man, I wanted to roar or whatever. I broke, you know, I had to clean up all those little tiny, tiny, tiny pieces of glass that if you walk around in your bare feet, you get them stuck and then you have to dig a needle out, you know, all that stuff. But so the point is this, is that we pray continually. We pray without ceasing. You are a prayer. I'm a prayer. We are prayers. And so we will continue to pray. And if you're not a prayer, then, you know, your life would be exponentially better if you began to pray, if you were consistent in prayer, if you believed in prayer, if you prayed in faith, then your life would change, and all of a sudden doors would open, opportunities would be there, blessings would come, and all these things that we talk about a lot are when people are surrendered to God and they pray. All right, so going forward here, in the Bible, liberty is life and blessing. Death is bondage and cursing. True Christianity is, rejection of death and sin in every aspect. Deuteronomy 30:19, again, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. All right, so when I read the Bible as talking to me. All right, so if the Bible's talking to me, God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against me, that I have set before me, God has set before me, life and death, blessing and cursing. God says to me, therefore choose life that both you and your seed may live. So I'm always reading the Bible as if God is talking to me and telling me things, and that's the way you get revelation. If you just read your Bible religiously as that's what I'm supposed to do, a little bit of consistently every day, then you're just not going to be able to tap into what God wants for your life. But when you start reading the Bible as God talking to you, and then you begin to search the scripture, well, what else you got to say to me, Lord? And all of a sudden you go to different places in the Bible and the word begins to speak to you. And you go to Proverbs and Psalms, and they're one-liners, and you start to see yourself in the Bible, and you start to see yourself in the kingdom, and you start to see yourself, and you begin to believe that, hey, you know what? I can go forward. I can develop. I can prosper. I can be in health. I can be in victory. I can be in joy and peace and long suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Something good's going to happen to me. Yay! Yay! Life is good. Yay! Rather than, oh no, what am I going to do? Something bad just happened again and blah, 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 because I never take the positive route. Even in the midst of misery and something bad going on, taking the positive route will get you out the fastest. So, you know, trust in the Lord will get you out the fastest. Believe in God will get you out the fastest. Living your life as a sold-out Christian will get you out the fastest. And not only get you out, it'll bring you to neutral. If you are in trouble, you are not in neutral, you're in reverse. It will bring you back to neutral. And then, once you get your life back to neutral, or you ask God to help you to get your life back to neutral, you begin to take territory. It's called conquering. We are, hey, I like the warfare attitude. I like the David, you know, seeing David and the mighty men of taking territory, taking spoils, taking victories. You know, you don't have to, you know, when we're slaying, we're not slaying each other. We're slaying the spirits that are trying to block our path. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not wrestling with people. I'm not trying to slay the people that did me wrong or hurt me in the past. Praise God. Thank God for the example this morning of praying for somebody 40 years ago that I didn't know. I'm praying and I'm going, God, what am I praying about? And I did this flash, instant flash when I asked what I was praying about. Really? Wow. That is so cool that we could pray over something that happened that long ago. What it meant to me is that that person is still alive and they may be in need of prayer, and because they did a good deed for me to help me when I was on the side of the road, now I'm doing a good deed back for them and I'm praying for them and something good is happening for them. It's called seed, time, and harvest. All those things work together for good for them that love God, who are calling to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Seed, time, and harvest. We planted seeds as we go of our Christianity and our faith. And if we planted seeds of Christianity and then we just dry up and blow away, guess what happens to those seeds? Dry up and blow away. If I dried up and blow away, it means it's just I haven't done anything with my Christianity. I really don't care. I really don't know if I believe. I really don't know if I want to read the Bible. I really don't know if I want to go to church. I really don't know. I really don't know. I really don't know. Those are seeds of doubt, unbelief, fear, and all the negativity. And guess what? You reap what you sow. You reap those seeds of negativity. Cut that stuff out of your life. Get it out of your mind. Reject things like that. Reject those thoughts. Reject those memories. Start believing the good things. Hey, I served here. Man, there's a blessing for me for serving there. I loved on a person there. There's a blessing for me for loving on a person. I gave to that family, and there's a blessing for me there. I sing praise to God, and there's a blessing for me there. There's blessings everywhere. I'm getting blessed head and toe from Alpha to Omega, from beginning to end. There's a blessing for me because I believe in blessings. I believe in favor. I believe in grace. I believe in mercy. I believe in the gift of God. I believe in all the things that God has promised in His Word. I look for promises in Word. I stand on promises in Word. Proverbs is full of promises of Word. Psalms is full of promises. David tells you how to live a Christian life. David tells you how he's a Jew, and he was a soldier and a king and all those things of Israel and stuff like that. But the way he conducted his life, the relationship he had with Jesus or with God the Father, how could we be as close to God as he was in his writings and his life? Well, praise God. We're close because we have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, the Holy Spirit helps me. I'm close to God. I'm close because I'm close to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I talk to you. Holy Spirit, I hear you. Holy Spirit, I listen to you. Holy Spirit, I'm hungry for you. Holy Spirit, you're talking to me through the Word. I'm reading the Word today, and Holy Spirit, you're talking to me. I'm listening, and you're showing me and guiding me into all truth, and I'm living for you, and I'm sold out to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Something's got to... Hey, you know what? We can't just shrivel up and blow away. If you believe in intercession, and I know many of you do because you go in that room, and I'm talking to those of you that aren't here in church, but you know... And we know that those of you up north, you're prayers. You've always been prayers. And thank you for your prayers. And we believe with you for your prayers, because prayers are incredibly valuable. It's so important to pray, but not just pray, but to believe that something good is going to happen. I mean, we could just pray all the time and never expect anything good. Oh, no, God would never bless me. There's nothing there for me. Oh, yeah, God just forgot me. Blah, blah, blah. No, God is good to all of us. He makes the rain to shine and the sun to fall. No, the sun to shine and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. So if God is blessing the unjust out there, God, why are you doing that? I've had arguments with God. God, why would you bless the unjust? Because a lot of those unjust people are possibly good people that just need Christ to clear the slate and come into the kingdom. And so if we look at people out there as everybody's a candidate to receive and to grow and to believe and to come into the kingdom. And that's why I appreciate the people that go into the prayer room to pray so often and pray so much, because that's what they're praying for, people's eyes to be opened, the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. Amen. All right, so we're talking about, somebody say amen while I find my place here. All right, all liberty is in Christ. In him we live and move and have our being. Liberty is freedom. So we have just, I don't know if you were blowing off fireworks last night or doing cherry bombs or bottle rockets or whatever, and or whatever you did last night or yesterday or whatever, but praise God, we celebrate. It's a great thing to do. We have a great country, and I'm grateful for our country. I'm not going to rip on our country. I'm not going to rip on anything in our country. Nothing's perfect. No one's perfect. We're not perfect. Except, just kidding. We are all flawed humans that have the Holy Spirit to make us walk in the Spirit, to help us seek God, to help us to be doers of the Word, not hearers only, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. So we have incredible potential on the inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And again, I just want to say thank you to the Holy Spirit for reminding me this morning as I was praying on the way to work, something that happened so long ago. And it just means God hasn't forgotten you. If God can remember somebody so far back in my life that did a great deed for me, that God does not forget the good things you've done, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you've sown into his kingdom. So we continue to do that. We continue to, we don't know, but guess what? There's a history. There's a record in heaven. There is a continual. Everything is on microfilm. What do they use in heaven? It's going to be in, you know, some kind of a storage system in a little tiny rock or something. I don't know what obviously you go build, you know, million years into the future. What kind of system is God going to use for memory? But hey, there are incredible memories that are building in heaven and fruit that's abounding. The Bible talks about fruit abounding to your account. So then you got to ask, what have I done lately? Fruit abounding to my account. What kind of fruit are we talking about? I certainly don't want that stuff on my account. So we move past all that stuff we don't want on our account, and now we begin to evaluate fruit that is abounding to our account. So account means that there's accounting, there's a history, there's a record in heaven. There's a record in heaven of my works, record in heaven of my words, record in heaven of my thoughts, record in heaven of my entire being. Wow. That's motivation for someone today, that if I'm being recorded to that degree, there's a lot of stuff I hope that just gets consumed, burned up, and gone because it's not good fruit. And now I recognize the need to bring forth good fruit. And so now I'm going to turn my attention away from me, myself, and I, and I want to begin to bring forth good fruit if I haven't. Now, most of you that come to our church, God bless you. You're good Christian people, so I believe you have lots and lots of good fruit abounding to your account. And so we just want to remind those that don't take things seriously. They don't take the word seriously. They don't take prayer seriously. They don't take living right seriously. They don't take all these things seriously. We want to go in the positive direction because, unfortunately, when we go in the negative direction, God's grace is so extensive. God's grace is extensive, but sometimes we get to the place where, you know, we stub our toes. And there's pain involved in stubbing your toe. And so I encourage somebody right now that's listening that, hey, you can turn it around. You know, God is the God of the breakthrough, the turnaround of coming back from, you know, defeat and coming back from failure and coming back from misery and coming back from suffering. The suffering is not in your future if you seek God first. Put God first. It's not, you know, suffering, the kind of suffering we're talking about is crucify the flesh. Crucify the flesh is when I want to eat anything I want and I don't, when I want sugar and I don't, when I don't get it, when I want these things, that's in the natural crucifying my flesh or saying no to my flesh. Well, that translates into all areas of Christianity where I'm denying myself to do what the world does. And I'm behaving myself and conducting myself like a spirit-filled Christian who knows what the Bible says and knows what Jesus did and knows what God expects of me. You know, we know what God expects of us. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, we could go on with scriptures, but just here's one right here, Deuteronomy 30. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose the blessing. Choose the good. Choose what you're supposed to do. Make good decisions right now, starting today. Let's move forward. Amen. All right, so we talked about choosing life. And just for those that are not familiar, there is the enemy of our soul, the devil, who is the author of death, pain, suffering, and eternal separation. He's the first liar ever recorded, and God says he's the father of lies. John 8:14, Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. He's talking to people that were full of the devil. That terminology, full of the devil, we've recognized people that are full of the devil, and it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be demon-possessed people. It's just people that have no desire to live for God and want to serve the darkness. They don't even know they're serving darkness. Well, they're full of the devil. But for us, we know that we're not full of the devil. We're full of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. That is the absolute positive acknowledgement that Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit, the third person of the divine Godhead, lives on the inside of you. And now we are capable. We have the strength to resist the father of lies. He's the father of lies. He's a liar. The Bible says he was a liar from the beginning. He was one of the highest ranking angels in heaven, and he got so full of pride that he tried to take over heaven, and God kicked him out, and he became the devil, and now he's the arch enemy of God, an arch enemy of the church, an arch enemy of Christianity, arch enemy of the Bible, an arch enemy of you and me. And so we resist him steadfast in the faith. We say no. He brings temptation. Some people go, well, he doesn't tempt you. It's just yourself that's tempting you. Well, he sows ideas. He sows things. He can't be everywhere at the same time. So he bounces around sowing stuff, sowing trouble, sowing strife, sowing division, sowing hate, sowing hate. But we believe that he's a liar. The devil is a liar. Jesus said in John 8:44, you're of your father, the devil. He's not talking to you and me right now. He's talking to the people that were around him. He says, in the lust of your father, you're going to do that. He was a murderer from the beginning. Satan was a murderer. He's the guy. He's the father of murder. Takes life. He's a thief. He steals, kills, and destroys. He's out to get whoever he can get. And he's out there doing his job, or what he believes is his job, to do what he believes. But he was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. He just is incapable right now. When he went off the deep end, when he left, he was very high ranking in heaven. Lucifer, he was very high ranking. He was the anointed cherub. He was an angel, beautiful angel. But he says, I'm so awesome, I'm just going to take over heaven and I'll be God. And God kicked him out, and with it stripped him of all of his righteousness, and he went down and became the enemy of our soul, the enemy of God, the enemy of everything good. And God said, Jesus said, he abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, because he's a liar and the father of lies. And we need to quit playing patty cake with the devil. Patty cake, patty cake, patty cake, patty cake. I like you. You like me. Chunk that, man. Throw that junk out the door and get up off of that thing and rejoice till you feel better. Get up off of that thing. Anyways, when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He's a liar. All lying is sin. Stop lying, Christians. If you're a Christian and you're a liar, stop it. Repent and rebuke lying. Speak the truth in love. You can do it. You can do all things through Christ if you're truly a Christian. Instead of saying, well, I don't know if I'm truly a Christian. Yes, you are. Just say you are.
I am.
Declare. Amen. Declare it. Speak the desired end result. I'm a fruitful Christian. I walk in the Spirit. I do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm a doer of the word. I seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. All these things are added unto me. I'm fruitful. I'm blessed. I'm healthy. I'm strong. I'm wise. And I'm going somewhere to be a blessing. Amen. Say good things about yourself. I surrender to all thee, my blessed Savior. We surrender our lying. Who made you think that forever you're just going to be a liar? No, stop lying today. I put my foot down and I say lying is under the curse. It's under my feet. I'm not going to be a liar anymore. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. We're surrendering that lying and we're speaking the truth. Proverbs 6:17 says God hates a proud look and a lying tongue. God hates it. You mean when I make up, you know, when I kind of bend the truth, if I bend the truth to my wife, you know, a little bit, you know, just honey, I didn't, you know, I spent a little, you know, we did, you know, we keep track of each other, right? And so, you know, I mean, we're not doing that. It's not acceptable. We're going to speak the truth in love. We're going to speak as God would have us to speak. God hates a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Doesn't mean you go out on the streets and you stick somebody. Doesn't mean you carry a piece and you shoot somebody. Doesn't mean that you pop somebody in the nose. It's talking about just shedding innocent blood through decisions and agreements you make with the world. None of you have done what I just named, at least not lately, or you wouldn't be in church today. But the point being here is that when we agree with darkness, when we agree with the things that the world... Wait, hey, here's one. When you agree with what the world does, you know what righteousness says, but you agree with what the world does or says. God said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and don't touch that unclean thing. Don't agree with them. You don't have to verbally be a disagreeable person. Don't do that. Stay out of strife. Stay out of arguments. Stay out of those things. But just pull back. Pull yourself back. And now it's control the tongue. Stop saying all the wrong things. Stop talking the dirt, the negativity, the fear, the unbelief, and all that stuff. Unbelief, speaking unbelief is as good, as bad as lying and swearing at somebody. Unbelief is probably more damaging. Turn our tongue around, amen. Proverbs again, 6:17, God hates a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Psalm 109:2, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. That's prophecy about Jesus. They were saying it about him. They lied about Jesus. Bondage is the opposite of true freedom, bound by habits, dependencies, and carnality. How do I stop it? I start by saying, Father, I believe I can change. Father, I believe with your help I can do this. Father, I believe I can turn my back on it. Father, I believe I can come out of darkness. Father, I believe that I can break bad habits. Father, I believe that I'm not going back to the way I used to be. Father, I believe. And then you find a scripture to stand on, and now you're quoting the scripture as the power source, because through a scripture that you believe, the power's in each scripture to bring itself to pass. There's power, power, wonder, working power in the Word of God. And so that's why it's critically important to find answers to what your situation is. And please don't expect a prophecy, thus saith the Lord, you will stand in a place of honor. Forget that. Just find a scripture. Start in Proverbs, one-liners. Find one that works for you, that works for your situation. Then go to Psalms, find more, and then go Ecclesiastes, and pretty soon read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, about Jesus and what he said, and then move on to what the Apostle Paul said, and pretty soon you're growing up into Christ in all things, you're being fruitful in good work, and you're increasing in the knowledge of him. Increasing in the knowledge of him. That's fruitfulness in your Christian walk. And so that's what our objective is, to walk in true freedom. We got this freedom idea, is that's what we celebrated, the freedom of the United States of America. And I've been spending a lot of time watching World War II stuff, because I love World War II stuff. And man, I tell you what, I'm not even going to go there, because I could, Germany and Japan. Wow. Amazing. All right, so going forward, we are coming out of bondage into true freedom. We're breaking habits, dependencies. We're breaking carnality. Bondage is anything you won't say no to. You just won't say no. You won't say no to it. If you are dependent, addicted, hooked, and habitually unable to break free, and you're unable to say no, you're in bondage to it. Nobody wants to admit that. Bondage is sins. Bondage is to the world, the flesh, the devil, the past memories can be bondage to it. Maybe you've turned your back in your old life, but you're still in bondage to the memories, to the past, bondage to food. Boom! Break that bondage in the name of Jesus. Drugs. Give me the drugs. Give me the drugs. Give me the drugs. Break that bondage to drugs. I don't need drugs anymore. I take aspirin. But all the drugs of the past are long, long gone. Alcohol. Pornography. Gambling. I loved gambling. Wow. Playing cards, playing poker, doing all. I loved it. But you know what? All of it had to go. God cleansed my life of addictions to gambling, addictions and bondages and everything that was sin. You know, step by step, God was helping me. Boom, 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 boom. And I didn't realize for a long time that I would be called to preach the gospel. But as God was dealing with me and I was responding to God. God was, you know, laying things out in front of me saying, deal with it. I said, I don't want to deal with that. You know, it's hard. It's hard to crucify your flesh. Deal with it. How do I deal with it? Just say no. All right. I see it. I see it in my mind. My body or my life wants it, but I just say no in the name of Jesus, and then I have a scripture to quote to stand on as I know that that has broken and I'm moving forward. Didn't we just sing this morning, moving forward? No, we didn't sing it today. We're moving forward. There's songs about not looking back to the way I used to be. I'm moving forward, but it's individually, step by step, I'm taking ground. Hey, you know, they just in the last, at the end of April and all of May and just a little bit of June, they're going up to Mount Everest, okay? And if you think about what would be the most challenging thing physically you could possibly do, because when you get up, it's called the death zone. When you get up, I think it's 6,600 meters, six whatever it is, there's a point where the air gets so thin that you can hardly breathe because it's thin air. You're high up in the atmosphere. But in going to Mount Everest, you know, we're taking step by step by step, going up the hill. I'm pressing. And pretty soon, man, you get up to the top. Hallelujah. I am victorious. I'm on top of the world. Life is good. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And victory tastes great because you look back and you go, I'm a Christian and I'm a successful Christian because I said no and I walked in the spirit and I denied my flesh and I'm living for Christ and I'm a doer of the word and I read my Bible and I spend time in prayer and I spend my time in intercession and I give out of my heart, I give out of my mind, I get out of my life and I give out of my finances. I'm a giver. God has blessed me and I'm a giver. Hallelujah. Those are good things, my friend. Somebody say amen. 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 No, it's got to be amen. Hallelujah. We're preaching the gospel and we're glad. All right. We just talked about the bondages and addictions. Now, if you can stop anything in your life, you need to sell out to God by surrendering to the word. Every person who claims Christianity must surrender to God to loose the bands of wickedness. We're going to beat on this here for a minute. We're going to keep on pounding the hammer of God's word on it. Isaiah 58:6. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? Hey, you know what? We're called to fast. You know, it's the best fast for me. Rejection of the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's the best fast I can be on. Because you know what? I don't mind. I don't mind fighting with the sword of the Spirit. I don't mind being a doer of God's word. I don't mind sticking a sword in my enemy. I don't mind, you know, rejecting him. And that's one of the things that it says here. What's the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens. Listen, somebody, bro or sis, you've been putting a heavy burden on somebody, and it might not be physically, but you might be holding some grudge against somebody. You might be holding unforgiveness against somebody. You might be causing that person mental suffering. And when you could simply loose the bands and let them go. You can make the choice of, God, it hurt, but I'm going to say no to that, and I'm going to ask you to help me to forgive them and forget it. One of the hardest things there are in life to do, but we do it. We do it because it's the right thing to do. It's loosing the bands of wickedness. Somebody goes, well, that's loosing the bands of wickedness on your own life. Well, we're loosing any connection to something that was misery in our life. And how do you change the misery that's in your life by replacing it with great memories? great memories. Well, I don't have any great. Well, we'll get in Proverbs, get in Psalms, and start getting into things that you identify with and get those as your victorious memories. I'm victorious in this. Here's one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm victorious in that. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm victorious in this. I can do all things through Christ. I'm victorious in that. I'm the head and not the tail because of what Christ did. I'm victorious in that. I'm healed. My body's healed and delivered. My mind is healed and delivered. My hurts are healed and delivered. I'm victorious in that. Building step by step, we're taking steps towards building this mountain of God in our life where, man, you know what? In order to go back, you would have to come down the mountain and go all through those paths that would take too long to go back into that old. I'm just going to forget that memory. I'm not going to go back there. I'm not going to live that way. Those things are so far down the mountain that I don't need them anymore. I don't think about them anymore. I am victorious over them. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, 2 Thessalonians or 1 Thessalonians 3:8. Now, for now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. All right, so stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. One of my favorite verses on earth. Stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made me free and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. That means don't touch it. Don't go back there. Don't think about it. Control your mind. Don't look at it. Control your eyes. Don't say it. Control your mouth. That's the way to forget. Control your mind. Control your eyes. Control your mouth. Control yourself and forget it. Pretty soon, it's not that important anymore. And there are bigger fish to fry, bigger mountains to climb, and bigger things to deal with in your life. All of us can get over something. Yeah. All things are subject to God, everything. So 2 Thessalonians 2:15, therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you've been taught. Hey, we're teaching you the right thing from the Bible. If I'm teaching something that's incorrect, then I expect God and this Holy Spirit and the Lord to correct me, or I've got a good wife that knows the Word of God, and I've got other brothers and sisters that know the Word of God. Somebody could get it to me if I'm wrong. But generally, I think I try and be solid on the Word of God. I claim to be solid on the Word of God, you know. So 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch, stand fast in faith, quit. Okay, now, that's King James. Quit like a man. I don't like that word. So act like a man. Okay, this is for guys. Stand up and be counted as a soldier in the army of the Lord. Think like a soldier. Well, I don't like war. Nah, it doesn't matter. You're a soldier now in the army of the Lord. You know what soldiers do? They have defined boundaries continually. And defined boundaries of soldiers keep them safe. If I violate today, I don't feel like staying in a foxhole and keeping my head down. I'm just going to stand down and yawn and stretch. Bang! You're dead. Why? Because you didn't stick to your soldier training. Stay in the foxhole and keep your head down and fight like you've been taught. Why did that happen to me? Because you rejected your training. Train them up in the way that they should go so that when they're old, they won't depart. Well, we're old now, and we're not going to depart from the way we were trained up. And if you hadn't been trained up and you were just trained up in the world, now you're a Christian, and most of you are high enough level that your prayers, if you're high enough of the level of prayer, you are a mature Christian because you're ahead of the body of Christ by a long way because you're in a consistent prayer time with your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's fruit. That's incredible fruit. That's fruit that is abounding to your account. And I commend you prayers that are in there all the time, that are coming to prayer on Sundays and Wednesdays and during the week and doing the things that prayers do. That is fruit that is abounding to your account. So it says in 1 Corinthians 16, watch, stand fast in faith, and act like a man and be strong if you're a guy. Philippians 4:1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So here is dearly beloved twice. calling you dearly beloved. I'm longing to see you, God is saying. Let's just see that as God is longing to see you come to the kingdom when God comes to get everybody. Dearly beloved, long for my joy. This is Apostle Paul obviously saying this in Philippians 4:1. He's talking to the Philippian church, but if you take it personally, then you're seeing the Spirit of God talking to you. And it says, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Thank you, Lord, that I am your dearly beloved. And you can say that too. Jesus came to set the captives free. If we put God in his word first place, I pledge allegiance to the Lord. I pledge allegiance to the Lord in the 66 books of the King James Version. You don't have to do that. That's me. Do I say that? No, I just thought about it and I wrote it down. But I do pledge allegiance to the Lord. I do. Lord, I am submitted, surrendered, and yielded to you. That's pledge allegiance to the Lord. And the 66 books of the King James. I love King James. My wife loves New King James. Some of you love Amplified. Some of you love New International. Some of you love whatever you love. But love your Bible. Submit to your Bible. Submit to your Bible means that I'm going to do what the Bible says in it, in the Word. I pledge allegiance to the Lord and the stuff that I learned from the Bible. I'm sold out is what true Christians do. Always putting God first place in their life by making Bible, prayer, and church our highest priorities, and sold out to Jesus as our highest priorities in life. Keep Christ by keeping his holy word. We're keeping the word. We're doing the word. We're seeking first his kingdom. We're being honorable. My brothers and sisters, don't come to church and be honorable where you're very honorable. You do, you know, you're very, and then you go out and you live sloppy Christianity. Sloppy Christianity is where I don't care what they think and I'm not doing what they say and I'm going to do what I want. That's sloppy Christianity. Christianity is we do. We're doers of the word. We have high priorities. We're sold out to Jesus. We keep his holy word. We're honorable. We honor God in everything we do. We honor his word as truth. I am a Christian first. And guess what I am? I'm a patriot. I love this country. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to tell you I love the United States of America. You know what? I didn't go to war, but if I did, I would be loyal. I would fight for my country. I'd fight for our freedom. I'd fight for this. Hey, we got some weird stuff in this country. We got weird people. We got weird things. But I love the United States of America more than anywhere else. And so I'm not ashamed to say I'm a patriot or a Christian that is I'm thankful for President Trump. I'm thankful for the administration. I'm thankful for right now to be an American. I'm proud to be an American. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. I honor those who have served and those that do serve. Why would you reject a soldier for the United States of America? They're treating them like crap now, pardon me for that saying that. They treat them like dirt. They're treating people that have served, people that wear their medals and they wear their military hats and they're proud. They were in foxholes in World War II and they were in miserable circumstances. They were in prisons and now they're proud because they fought and they won and the people are rejecting them and pushing them away and not wanting anything to do with them. And I suggest you honor those men that men and women that died or that survived and served and gave. And I'm hallelujah. Bless your hearts. I love you guys. Thank you. And ladies that did that. I choose to honor all authority as from God. I've struggled with this because where I grew up, they didn't. We didn't. We did it on purpose. We rejected authority. But now I purpose in my heart to honor authority, to submit to the will of God, which is honoring authority, and just as a to suggest what I want to tell you right now, it's not because of telling you that my grandson is now a Minneapolis police officer. If he walked in here in uniform, Kira, his sister is here with her baby, and But Keyshawn is a police officer. He's working in Northeast Precinct, and he is driving around in a cop car, and he is a full-fledged person. And that's a representation to me of respecting authority. And, you know, at times I've been, you know, kind of punkish in my communication over the years of, you know, from, you know, where we came from and all that stuff. And we're kind of smart alecks and punks and stuff like that. But praise God, I've always, you know, in our home, we respected authority. We respected the government. We respected the police department. And I respect my grandson. He's awesome. And he's already to me, he's a great cop. And, but anyways, sorry. Amen for that. So, that's good news. So, we respect and honor the police department. Is everybody perfect? Are there haters? There's haters everywhere, in everything. And it's not going to be squeaky clean anywhere. Our job, our family, our home, our life, people, nothing's going to be squeaky clean. But we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. High calling is squeaky clean. That's great. I'd love to be a squeaky clean Christian. I'm a doer of the word. I love God's word. I love prayer. I love the church. I love those things. But there's areas for improvement. There's always areas for improvement. 1 Timothy 2, speaking of, of praying for those in authority. It's now, think of this. People that came out of that background, where they didn't respect authority and they were bad people. And, you know, I can relate to being a punk in the streets and all that stuff. And now, as we come into the church, God has forgiven us and cleansed us of unrighteousness. And now 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort you, therefore, first of all, supplication, prayer, and intercession, asking, praying, and interceding, and giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So somewhere along the line, I am finding room to pray for authority, even if I was anti-authority. And I'm not anymore, because I submit to God, and that's authority. Boom, 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 boom. It's just authority. And you and I are under authority. And therefore, we are required, as in the army of the Lord, to submit to our authority. Submission is part of fruitful Christianity. I submit to your will, Lord. Not my will, but thine, yours be done. That is sometimes one of the hardest things there is to do. But you press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All right, we're going to wrap this up. I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and give thanks be made for all men, for kings, all in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. So we're making these choices to seek first the kingdom of God, then and honor authority, recognizing the tactics of the devil is rebellion, temptation, and division. He's trying to divide. And that's what's going on to such a degree in our city and in our government, in our country. There's division, and it's tactics of the devil. It's temptation of rebellion, hating police just because, you know, you grew up in the hood is stupid. Yo, we grew up in the hood, man. We hated cops. Well, too bad. Now you're a Christian. So love authority. Love authority. I love those individuals. I love the authority that God has established. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm submitted to it. Enough said. All war is horrible. But we should honor those that served. Freedom is a God-given blessing. We get to pick and choose our leadership. We're not under communism, totalitarianism, or despots, or any of that. Thank God, freedom. Hallelujah. All war is horrible. War is horrible. It's hate. Yuck, man, boom. But man, thank you for serving. Guard your heart of hatred. Right now. Judge hatred in your life. I hate that, man. I hate that guy. I hate that stuff. I hate those people. I hate. Judge it. Let's remove hate. The only thing we don't remove is we hate sin. We hate our own sin. We hate our own rebellion. We hate our own rejection of God's will. We hate that, but otherwise we're not haters. We're lovers. We love because he loved first. We love him. Last couple seconds here. Again, guard your heart. Second Timothy 3:3 from the NLT. Fact of the matter is, haters will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and they will hate what is good. It's happening everywhere we see it, but we don't. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. When I speak of hell, I'm speaking of the horror of eternal separation. Don't risk the possibility of eternal separation by being a hater of good. Don't do it. It might sound like, who are you talking? There are some that don't understand that you don't get the freedom to hate. As Christians, we don't get to just hate. I mean, you might hate your vegetables. We're not talking about that. We're talking about just hating, being anti-God, anti-government, anti-police, anti-Christian, anti-Christ, full of devil's hatreds against men and women. Heaven is full of saints. Hell is full of the unrighteous who are haters. All right, so in Luke 12:46, and we'll close pretty quick here, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for them, if they're haters. If you're a hater, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, at that hour when he's not aware, and will cut him asunder and will appoint his portion with unbelievers. Don't be in the category of unbeliever with the haters. Don't identify with haters. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not that unclean thing. Do not identify with the groups of hate. Hatred of Christians is growing. And if you're here today and you're watching, you guys are Christians probably, hopefully. And if you're not, we pray the salvation prayer in a moment for you to accept Christ and come out of darkness into the light. All right, last point here. It's a good point. The Bible suggests that hell will always be visible over the balcony of heaven. Whoa. 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 Hell will always be a reminder. But I thought God's going to wipe everything, all our memories and all that stuff away. Well, that's what the Bible said. Hell will be able to look over the balcony. I don't have it right now, but I will find it so I can read it to you. But the point being is that it's a real place. We're not going there, and we don't want anybody else to go there. Can someone say amen this morning? All right, let's say the salvation prayer together. Dear God in heaven, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for me and was raised again from the dead so that I could have eternal life. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior and be my Lord. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I receive forgiveness now, and I receive eternal life. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
One of the reasons we pray for authority is so they'll make good decisions.
So we can what?
So they'll make good decisions.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of your famous sayings.
Well. when you see, you know, I think as Christians, it's very easy to get caught up in the hatred of the world because it's so prevalent. And just a disregard for decency. It's crazy. We don't want to get caught up in the same things. We don't want to be haters. Hurting people hurt people. Pray for people's salvation. We pray for them to do what's right in God's sight. That's what I pray for a lot. I pray for all those in authority, whether I like them or not. It has nothing to do with what you like. It's what does the Bible tell us to do? The scripture about praying for those in authority, it doesn't say pray for the ones you like. Pray for all those in authority so that it will be well with you. So we do what the Bible says. We put our feelings under. We don't allow the haters in the world to be the loudest voice in our head. That's really what it comes down to. Don't let social media inform your life. All those algorithms and things. Some of you have no social media. Some of you are got every kind of social media. For those of you that don't have any social media, you're probably somewhat better off, and unless you're just getting your information from otherworldly sources. Sometimes we'd probably be happier. Actually, you are happier if you are not on social media. It's true. That's actually a proven thing. People that spend too much time on social media have higher rates of depression, anxiety, all sorts of crazy stuff. Because you're letting those algorithms feed whatever you're into. So people that are really into darkness, all that stuff just continues to feed it. Like, haven't you ever wondered how people have gone so far off the rails in compared to what, you know, it just seems like there's more and more really extreme things out there. We want to be extreme Christians that know God, love God, and do His will. And submission is not really submission until you don't like it. It's easy to go along with what you like. It's a lot harder to submit to truth and to do what's right when you don't like it. That's where submission really starts. Being a doer of the word, no matter what. And we want to not have strife in our life. Put a guard on strife. Some people were raised in homes full of strife. You know, maybe you need to spend 5 hours in prayer before you spend a half an hour with your family. So that you can just hold your peace. Hold your peace, hold your tongue, and don't engage. Sometimes you just need to not engage. Soft answer turns away wrath. Whatever you got to do, right? We want to be doers of the word. So, anyway, praise God. We're going to be solid, steadfast Christians who are not moved, don't waver, not going to waver back and forth. We're going to stand strong. We're going to do the will of God. And we're going to let our light shine. God is looking for people who will let their light shine bright. We want to be lighthouses, individual little lighthouses all around, wherever God has placed you. We want to be bright lights for the kingdom of God. And we can. That's who He's called us to be. And we can have fun doing it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's good to get those victories. So my encouragement to anyone, if you're feeling like, oh my gosh, I need my whole life changed, you'll get there one step at a time. One step at a time. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Make a decision. You're not going to quit. There's no condemnation, but you're going to move forward and you're going to say no. You're going to say yes to God, no to that. And you're just going to move forward. Amen. We're going to close the service by receiving the offering, and it's good to sow seed in the ground. It's good to support the church. There's rewards that come with giving. God is faithful and just. He remembers the things that we sow. He multiplies the seeds that are sown. He multiplies them. It's just like when you plant seeds, flowers or corn or whatever you're planting, tomatoes. You plant one tomato seed, you get tons of tomatoes on one plant. That is multiplication. That's how God set it up. So when you're faithful to sow seeds in the kingdom of God so that the gospel can be put out, man, those seeds God's taking and he's multiplying and he's bringing blessings into your life. He said that he would not let the righteous beg for bread. That's awesome. God is so good to us. It's an honor. It's a privilege. We get to give. Pastor Steve and I don't look at the offerings. We don't touch the money in the church because that's not our job. Our job is to love people, to tell you the truth, and to lead by example. So what we do in our private life lines up with what we do in the pulpit and what we do in life in general. We're the same. We're the same. Got our offerings. You couldn't talk us out of giving because God's so good. So we get to this morning, and if you don't want to, don't, because we're not here to extract money out of anybody. We're here to teach you the truth that when you are a giver, Jesus said, when you give, it'll be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shaken together and pressed down. That's like compacted, stuff it all in there, and then running over. Will men give unto your bosom? God meets our needs. Father, thank you for the gifts, the tithes, and the offerings this morning. Thank you for meeting the needs in abundance. Father, for those that are stepping out, for those that have been faithful, God, I pray that you would open up the windows of heaven where there would not be room enough to contain the blessings. Thank you, Father, for helping us to see those blessings when they come, that we don't miss them, and that we don't take the good things that you're doing in our lives for granted. We honor you this morning. We worship you. We present these tithes, gifts, and offerings to your work and service in Jesus' name.